You make less mistakes by following your heart than following your head. You may have to go through a little suffering in the beginning also. In like manner, we are placed in a position now because Baba is not there in his body, whether I should follow his will or follow my conscience. Since I mean, overlook my conscience completely, but Baba himself says, how to follow my conscience. Then I'm caught, what is more important? Baba says, follow your conscience and follow my will. The decision is yours, whatever it is. And so let the decision be his. In his own words, there was a saint. Of course, he was a saint, we are not saints. We are expected by Baba to lead a very normal life. There was a saint in whose house at night a robber came in. In a great hurry, robber took away all the things that he found in his house. And the robber was running away. The saint happened to step into his house and look at the things and came to know that the robber had visited his house. But the robber did not take away all the things. There was something remaining there. So he picks up the rest of the things and runs after the robber and calls him out, here you are, you have left these things behind. Please take these away. Because I do not want. You have come to help me, to relieve me of all your impressions, my attachment to this. You have taken so much and take these, the rest of them all. We are not expected to do that. Because Baba does not want us. But maybe the situation in our life may come, and that may be a deciding factor to prove whether I follow Baba's will or follow my own conscience. So I say I will make less mistakes by following his will than my conscience. If there is a hesitation, there is some doubt, it is better to resign to his will. It may not come to you very easily. Such occasions may arise in your life. You may not be able to decide in favor of Baba's will. You may decide in favor of your own conscience. But nothing is going to be wrong with you. When you love Baba, you have all faith in him, you have conviction about him. The time is going to come that he's going to give you full strength that you obey him 100% and satisfy him at the cost of anything else in your life, including your own conscience. Kabir ji had his wife. It is very rare that a wife can believe in a husband to be the perfect master. She was his wife. The wife, you see, considered the husband on an equal footing. How can she ever take her husband to be a perfect master? Very difficult for her to do it. But she did. She respected him as a perfect master. She loved him as a perfect master. And many, many sadhus, visitors used to come to his house. And that was the vogue in those days, that any visitor who came, no matter at what time, during the day or at night, the woman of the house was supposed to cook the food and feed them. About a dozen or more and less sadhus came at late at night. This woman was very tired. So Kabirji called his wife and said, look here, you have to feed these people, they have come. He would not look at the woman, how tired she is really. So she called him. So she says, sir, there is nothing in the house. What should I teach them? I do not have anything in the house. It's all finished. He says, go out and buy something. She says, the shops are closed. I do not have even the money. And where can I? Because Kabirji was very poor. And how can I? Go and sell yourself. Where is the conscience? Does the conscience of the woman would allow her to sell herself at midnight, go to somebody's house, and sell her body to get money? But more important than her conscience is the will, the order, the instruction of the master is there. So the instructions of the master, if you are convinced of it, if you are convinced, you have the convictions about your master, then that is the primary thing. You have to obey everything besides, whether it is your conscience, whether it is your head, your body, your morals, your anything, you are going to throw overboard. Only follow his will. She said, yes, sir, I am prepared to obey. She went out. She was a master, nothing happened. She had never had to tell anybody. She visited a few houses, and even at the dead of the night, they gave her so much of raw material. She came and cooked food and fed all those people. So that is it. Which is more important than which? This is the sense of values Baba teaches us. I shall give you another instance. My clothes are very important to me, but my house is more important to me. My money is more important to me. But my reputation is more important than money and my house. And my child is more important to me than my reputation. And my God is more important than anything else. And the will of my master is much more important than even my God or my worship. So these are the graded values you have to understand. And this is the sense of values that Meher Baba has inculcated in his lover. And that is one has to understand which is greater than which. All things are very useful, they are. But which is more important than the other? If a time comes, we have to give up a thing of lesser importance in favor of greater importance. And then again the same thing has to be given up in favor of something more important. Then we go on and on. And eventually there is nothing greater in our life than the will of our master. My life be damned, my conscience be damned, my money be damned, my relationship with anybody be damned. That God in my imagination I have created be damned. My master is there. That is, he said, Guru Govinda dono khade mai kiske lagu paaye. Balahari wo Guru ki. Diya Govind bataye. On one side is standing God, and on another side is standing my master, who has shown me the God, who has given me the experience of God. And both are there standing on my chest now. To whom shall I give a greater reverence? Would he be God or would he be the master? He says, no, I will give the first priority of my reverence to my master, because it is he who has made me a realized God. So the importance of the will of the master is far too great. This should be understood. Any question?
How do we know always what's the will of the master? For example, if it's in a situation where, well, like if you told his wife to go out, well, nothing happened, but still, that if we don't have Baba there exactly to tell what's his will, he could maybe tell us to do something which didn't go with our morals, maybe our Christian idea, and then we would do it because he told us to do it. But how do we know now? Well, maybe there's situations where we think, should we pay that attention to our Christian morals, which we think Baba wants us to do?
Many millions of Christians who are there who love Christ, millions of Muslims are there who love Muhammad, and neither Muhammad nor Christ both live in their bodies. And they take distance on many things in their life, they remembering with all their heart, and they take the distance. And remember one thing, if you take a decision and follow one line of action in the name of him, in the name of Meher Baba, with 100% honesty, even if you make mistakes, he is responsible. I know. But there should be 100% responsibility and sincerity. Your mind should not deceive you. My mind runs after my many desires, and the mind contrives to have the sanction in a very wrong way from the master to satisfy his own desire. So we should be guarded against all this, because mind is a very deceitful thing. The most deceitful thing in our life is our mind. So we have to be very careful of it. We can't throw it away. We can't embrace it 100%. We should embrace it, but with all the caution of everything that Baba has told us to mold our life into, and be careful. So maybe we make mistakes, but we should not bother about it. As long as there is 100% sincerity, there is honesty of purpose, mistakes doesn't matter. But if at the very basis you are tottering, you do not know. As Baba says, you want me to want what you want. You do not want what I want, but you want me to want what you want. So that's enough. As a man once, he prepared everything for the marriage of his son. A beautiful wife, he never asked Baba anything. At the final stage, he comes and stands before Baba. Oh, Baba, she is a graduate, he is a graduate, he is beautiful, she is lovely. And won't you give your sanction for marriage? What should Baba say under these circumstances? And supposing he had said no, that man, I don't think, was prepared to listen to it at all. And then he goes out and Baba gives his approval. And there he says, everything has taken place by the will of the master, nothing at all. It was his own will. So why should a man deceive himself into believing that it was Baba's instruction? He went and took Baba's approval. He wanted Baba to want what he wanted. So it is not straightforwardness at all in dealing with Baba. You have to be very plain, very simple, and 100% honest. And then if you make mistakes, Baba helps. This is not a mistake. Supposing that is a mistake, something you do is really a mistake, and in time to come, it gives you a feeling of repentance. Baba doesn't let you go at all. He makes you repent over it with all your heart. Shed your heart, even your blood, your mind, everything, and then set you right. There may be many mistakes committed. I have seen cases. A man tries to walk, he falls down. Gets up, walks again, he falls down. He gets up and walks again, he falls down. He goes through all the suffering, through the shocks of suffering, the extremes of feelings and thoughts. He undergoes all that, but eventually there are cases who have become saints in their life, gone through such ups and downs and upheavals of life. But one thing should be there. Honestly, I tell you, not that we should go in deliberately for these ups and downs and try to disobey deliberately and bring upon ourselves suffering. But more important than that is your sincerity, your adherence, your faith and your conviction about him and your love about him that matters more than anything. Baba, I am convinced that you are Yoda, but you have got to be honest. The slight dishonesty cannot be forgiven. With all the honesty, the man comes out and says, Baba, whatever it is, I felt that you wanted me to do and I did it. The responsibility is his. But if there is the least thought of insincerity in it, thought or action, then the responsibility becomes his own. No, Baba is not responsible. Anything done with all honesty in his name is all God's work, is Mahe Baba's work, his will. What am I? I speck on an ocean. He has to guide me. But I should be prepared to obey him 100%. Just as this woman said to Kabirji. Kabirji said, you go and sell yourself. And if that woman were to ask the question, you perfect master, do you dare give me such an instruction? I am such a pure woman, and your wife, and you call yourself a perfect master. And you have the audacity to ask me to go and sell my body at the dead of night, only to feed all this handful of people who have come here? No question. I am prepared to do it. Any other questions?
What happens when you feel you're being honest in a situation, but you come to find out that it was just your trick, your thought of it was honest, and you find out you're just deceiving yourself?
Later on, if you find out. Huh? Or do you find out at that very time? On that specific occasion, when you feel to do a certain thing and you are not certain of it, whether you are honest or not, then you are responsible. But at that time, if you feel 100% sure that you are 100% honest, and you go in for the action, and later on a feeling of repentance comes and, no, I was wrong, it is not your fault. Let him look after you. If you are great, if he is great, let him look after you. Otherwise, what is Mahe Baba is nothing. Although he is in nothing, but he is also in everything. So let him look after. Entrust yourself like a child. But the difference between the child and you, that you are a developed intelligence, the child is not. That innocence, that dedication of the child to the mother, should be taken up by you with all your full present intention. And that is what is required of us. It is a razor's edge to walk over, it is not easy. As one poet says, Jigar says, Ek aag ka darya hai aur doob ke jana hai. Ye ishq nahi aasan, itna to samajh lijo. Ek aag ka darya hai aur doob ke jana hai. This love making with God, this love making with the avatar is not easy. It is like an ocean of fire, and we have to swim through. Swim through an ocean of fire. A slight match, if it is burned, it touches our body. We will just take a jump. And the ocean of fire, and swim through, it means he can give you that strength. By his blessing, everything is possible. I am not able to do. Only thing, I should be convinced of my own love, should be convinced of my own conviction, and should be honest to myself 100%. That is what you are required to do. The rest of it is his work. Whatever way he wants me to stay and live and lead a life, it is his will. I am a game for him. But these conditions are there. 100% love, 100% conviction, 100% honesty. Where is he? Now the very fact that you want to have that, you are aspiring to have 100% obedience. Is that it? You don't have it. In the present state, you feel doubtful whether you have 100% obedience or not. But the fact is there that you want to have it. You are longing for it, you aspire for it. But in the present state, if you try to become very honest, you feel that you are dishonest. Because my heart and mind doesn't support me in giving that 100% obedience to him. Am I right? But you are on the way of obedience already. We are already on the path of obedience. And for a time, that feeling of uncertainty and suspense will be there. As long as you reach your destination, that suspense is bound to be there. This is a unique case, very different to the man who is already establishing his love and conviction for Baba. This is the case that he wants to aspire. This is a case of a prospective person who wants to have love and conviction. So you have to encourage yourself all the time, create the circumstances, and live in it all the time. And you get it. It is in one's own hands. If you give yourself an opportunity, you can get it. If you just turn your face away from it, you lose it. There are certain things which are in our hands. In spite of the great will of the avatar, there are many things that are in our hands. And that is why Baba has always to tell you, do this, don't do that, and do this. In spite of the fact, he says, that everything proceeds from my will, and I can do and undo things. You know, why in another breath he comes out and tells me that you do this and do not do that? Why does he do it? There is a reason. Because within the domain of your free will, you have the choice. For the final things, he is going to do for you. I shall give you an instance, an analogy. Supposing Mayor Baba wants you to travel in a train and go from Ahmednagar to Bombay. Ahmednagar is your starting point, Bombay is your destination. He will definitely see that you board the train and you reach Bombay. What will you will do in your train, in the train while you travel, he leaves it to you, that is your choice. Somebody plays card, somebody plays chess, another goes and sees the sightseeing all around, the stretches through which this train is passing, the forest and the landscape. And one is contemplating, another is reading, third fellow is gossiping, fourth is sleeping all the time, and fifth is abusing and fighting. It is left to you. He doesn't come and tell you, you do this and do this and do this and do that. And there is someone who might take into his head, and he comes at Lonavala station. Oh, what a beautiful climate. How nice people, beautiful girls to look at. Shall I not get down yet? Gets down. Oh, what a blue eye, nice girl. What a fair skin. What a youth, what attraction. And he gets down the Lonavala station, he misses the train. Maybe he spent so many lifetimes over there and loses the great chance that the avatar gives him from traveling. Of course, eventually after aeons or after many, many years, it is a question of time. Every soul is born to go to the destination. There is no doubt about it at all. But the great difference is within the question of time. If you were to travel all this distance from Ahmednagar to Bombay, somebody says, no, I don't believe in Mehr Baba, I will not take the train at all. My old avatar, Rama avatar, has told me to walk on foot and go. So Mehr Baba says, why do you travel yourself so much? You will take a long time and maybe you fall ill on the road. It may take you many years to even reach there, you do not know. I give you a beautiful berth and a seat and a sleeper. You come into my train. No. Who the hell is going to believe you as the avatar? I don't know. My avatar is Rama avatar. Mehr Baba says, I am the same avatar who has come in this death, in this life. No, I don't believe. I believe him. Mehr Baba says, all right, you go. So this fellow takes up the journey on foot and walks and walks. And on the way he falls ill, he is detained. He is looked after by somebody or not, and then probably, I don't know, he falls in love with a girl, then he marries, he begets, and this such a long and long and lifetimes of detention, he forgets everything, including his own Ram. So the question of time is very great. Every soul is born to go to the destination, because inherently the soul is a drop of that ocean. No soul is different to another soul at all, they are identical with one another. But the point is question of time, the point is the force of this Maya that plays adversely or favorably on the minds and hearts of human beings, that matters a great deal. And the master, the avatar, is the master of all, he can do and undo things. Hafiz says, Sarkash mashav kachusham azgaira tatra shudar dilbark dar kapehu mohmaska sangyahara. Sarkash mashav kachusham. Sometimes Baba has to tease us and give us a lot of suffering. And at that time we used to get peeved and irritated and sometimes express our feeling in an apparent pride. So Baba had to come out and say, Sarkash mashav kachusham azgaira tatra shudar dilbark dar kapehu mohmaska sangyahara. He said, do not become proud. In the presence of who? In the presence of your master. Why? Because he has a strength. What a strength he has. A huge mountain he can hold in the palm of his hand and melt it like wax. So where will your pride stand before his strength and before his force? So do not ever show your pride to your master at all. Sarkash mashav kachusham. That will burn yourself into nothing. So be careful. The master is too powerful than anything else. If he is the master, nowadays there are masters and masters. I do not know whom to call master and whom to call not. So Mehr Baba has preferred to use the word servant and slave for all his disciples. He said, do not aspire to become an apostle at all. Do not aspire to become a saint. I do not want you to become a saint. I want you to become a perfect servant of human beings, a perfect servant of God, and a slave of your master. Throughout your life, remain an ordinary man in your dress, in your talk, in your thought, in your meditation, in your feeling, in your love, in everything you express yourself as a servant, as a slave to the master, a servant to God and humanity. A slave to the master, a servant to God, a servant to humanity, a slave to the perfect master. Because the master is the gateway. You have to adjust everything, including his personal body, his attributes, his everything. Even when you are the personal body, Baba says, you have to attune yourself to me 100%. It was not an easy one. A husband cannot attune to his wife, neither can a wife attune to his child, neither a child can attune to his secure master of a school. To become completely attuned to them too, you can become attuned to even God, but not to the master. Because God is the master of his Godhood. But the avatar is the master of the universe and his God is both. That's why it's called God-man. God is God. Who is not man? So, the relationship between a master and a human being is of a very, very unique nature. And blessed is the man who has ever come in contact with that master, with the avatar, that chance one gets once in 700 to, between 700 and 1400 years. And there are masters and masters galore. I do not say no. They can guide you. Aurobindo Ghosh was one of the biggest yogis. There is no yogi within the last 100 years which was as great as Aurobindo Ghosh, but a yogi. And still, Baba had to give him a final push to merge, to get that experience of God realization before he completely dropped his path. He had to do his guru's life. There is one from a place called Wai, which is at the bottom of Panjgani Hill. Then you go to Mahabaleshwar, we come across Panjgani. And that was Mr. Lele by name. We read his biography that Lele helped him. Probably that Lele is alive, I do not know. There was one man from that family who had once come and met Baba in Satara. I was present there. He was standing outside like this, and he was a great yogi. What is a yogi before the avatar? He's a master of the universe. And what is the universe? Not the universe, that the scientists have found this universe. There are universes. Number, infinite number of universes, the scientists do not know anything. Whether the human habitation is on those heavenly bodies or not is a different question. That's absolutely a different question. But there are universes and universes, and he is the master of them all. A master, the path, a master, a yogi can give you a lift. But he can never take you to the destination. He can just give you a lift to the extent that he is there. So Lele gave Aurobindo Ghosh a lift up to where he was. And left him there. He had to advance on his own. And then he came and got standard of the sixth plane of consciousness where he could see everything as God. The stone as God, the saucer as God, this eyeglass case as God, this carpet as God, everything is God. But the chasm between himself and God was so wide and so deep that he could not become united with God at all. So Baba gave him a push. As he said. And that is it, the perfect master, or the avatar. So, we have got to see the master we choose in our life is really worthy of your love. Because the most precious thing in your life is nothing short of your love. It is the most precious. You do everything in your life for your love. If you really finally were to analyze, and for the matter of that, every being on this earth does everything for the love of somebody. I do for the love of my wife, my mother, or my child, whoever he or she may be, or at long last, if I do not have anyone, I do it for myself. So it is for the love of myself that I do it. So love. So this element is love. I element is far too a small word for love to be used. But this love which you have there should be only lavished on a person is worthy of your love. There are many advanced souls that love you. But what do you want in your life? You want a few tidbits of inner experiences? Or do you want to solve the riddle of your life? Do you want to go to the source? Or you want to get caught in the whirlpool on the path somewhere and go out shouting at the top of your voice for somebody to come and help you out? You have to decide for yourself. Baba always told us, I know, in my life with Baba, I was a man full of many weaknesses. And more than anything else, I was a very jealous man. I used to be jealous of not at least women, but from of men. And I always wanted Baba to love me the most. And I wanted to stand out as the biggest disciple of Mahavira. And as time went on, you see, I went on suffering very much. Then, so much so that once at Nasik, I know, I was full of jealousy and confusion and rage within myself. And Baba used to just play with my emotions. And one day I was sitting in a room, Baba was there, I dashed my head on the ground. Baba kept quiet, didn't say anything. Allowed me to dash, allowed me to weep, allowed me to wail, allowed me to cry. And then afterwards he asked me, is it all over? I said, yes, Baba. What do you want in your life? He asked me. What do you want? Do you want the love that I have for somebody? Or somebody loves me? Why do you waste your time in being jealous about others? I do not understand. Do you want me? You want my love? Do you want the highest thing in your life? Yes, Baba, the highest thing. Then you have all this. This is all nonsense. This is not required. This will not help you. But in spite of that, future occasions did arise and I displayed the old nonsensical sentiment. You see? Went through and through and through and through until new life. That was the climax. And when we came out of the new life, then we are completely washed of those weaknesses. Now if you ask me,